Now I want to offer you some suggestions as to how we can be sure that our service will stand the test of fire. I want to suggest to you three ways that you can assess your own service. First of all, what is your motive? The only motive that's acceptable to God is for God's glory. And a whole lot of what is done in the church today is done by men for their own glory. I say personally, and this is simply a personal observation, I think the greatest problem in the church today is personal ambition on the part of ministers. The largest church, the longest mailing list, the most miracles, that all will be burned up because its motive is wrong. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, Paul says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." There's only one acceptable motive for our service, and that is the glory of God. Somehow I feel that the Lord wants me to pause there. Just give you an opportunity to consider what has been motivating you in your services, in your service for Him. You see, Paul said we need to be renewed in our minds in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I think the difference between the renewed mind and the unrenewed in mind is this. The unrenewed mind comes to a situation and says, "What's in this for me?" The renewed mind says, "Where will God get glory?" It's a total change of motive. I think this applies very much to marriage. I think many marriages are unhappy because the people approach them with an unrenewed mind. The attitude of each is, "What will I get out of this? Will it make me happy?" That's almost a certain recipe for an unhappy marriage. The right motive is, "What can I give?" Not "What can I get?" but "What can I give?" And when two people meet together with the purpose of giving to one another, they'll have a happy and successful marriage. It's the whole issue of motivation that's really important. Secondly, if your work is to stand the test of fire, it must be done in obedience to the Word of God. That's the only acceptable basis. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus spoke about two different kinds of persons, the one who built on the sand and the one who built on the rock. And he said at the end, Mark, that's where I'm having a trouble, but I'll be there. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 and following. These are the words of Jesus. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So the only acceptable motive is to do the will of God the Father. And then Jesus goes on with something that offends some people. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to you, to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I have, by the grace of God, been privileged to cast out many, many demons. I've seen a number of very definite miracles take place. I have frequently prophesied. I want to tell you, I do not base my hope of heaven on any of that. And anybody who does is in danger. There's only one essential requirement for heaven. It's doing the will of the Father that is in heaven. And Jesus says to these miracle workers, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And you know, many of them are a law to themselves. They do basically whatever they feel like, take whatever they can get, and ignore the great central principles of the Word of God. I could speak a lot about that, but it's probably not profitable. But I have to say, I've just recently written a letter about Balaam. I was so impressed with the story of Balaam. Here was this man with these miraculous prophetic gifts, words of knowledge and words of wisdom. I mean, he gave forth prophecies in numbers as beautiful as any that are uttered in the Bible concerning the destiny of Israel. And yet he perished, executed by the people of Israel. And you know what his problem was? He's mentioned three times in the New Testament. And it states very clearly Balaam's motivation was the love of money. And that cost him his soul. And really, in today's church, we need to ask ourselves, are we motivated by the love of money? Ruth and I have a scripture we quote, I won't ask her up, but it says, we are not as many who peddle the word of God for profit. That's a startling statement, isn't it? That was in the days of Paul. Paul says there are a lot of people making profit out of the gospel. It's our motives that God searches. And the third requirement is the power that we operate in. In Romans chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, Paul says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God." Paul says, nothing that I've done is worth mentioning except that which the Holy Spirit has done through me. That's the only acceptable power for ministry, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So let me give you those three requirements for your work to stand the test of fire. Your motive for God's glory. Are you doing it in obedience to the Word of God, or are you doing your own thing? Or making your own rules? And number three, are you working in the power of the Holy Spirit or in your own fleshly ability?